Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a family affair going on here at 1380 WAOK. It's Love and Relationships with Sean Garvey alongside Joyce Attell and Spirit on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. And if you are now joining with us, we are talking about how do parents cope when their kids are away to go to college? Our special guest is, of course, Dr. Harold Bennett and his wife, Valerie Bennett, in the studio with us. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the empty nest, what it looks like when your child, son or daughter, is away to go to college. Now, us as millennials, as young people, especially like myself, we never really thought about what it would be like when we go away to go to college and it's just the mommy and the daddy. Like, that thought never comes to our minds. We're just about being independent, free, not worrying about curfew or anything like that. But in your instance, Dr. Bennett, it's a different scenario. It's a different environment. Explain to us what it was like for you and Miss Bennett.
Well, for me, one of the strangest things was to actually be in the house and it was quiet. Mm. That might sound strange.
Tell me, what does that feel like? I just want to know.
And to have hours and hours of uninterrupted time. Mm-hmm. I had to adjust to that.
Yeah.
That was really strange, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm used to every minute of the day going somewhere, doing mm-hmm. something, somehow having my hands full with something regarding my children.
Right.
But to have that space where I could come home and Quentin wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get used to that.
Somewhere, right?
That's
you
what
don't
I'm saying.
Gotta get to the next appointment, the next game.
I had to get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get used to it. So one thing I had to do was to adjust, or shall I say, readjust mm-hmm. to something very similar to what before my son was born. I had to somehow or another reacclimate. You know, this he's not there,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that was just different.
Yeah.
And I'll say also, you know, we do have a daughter who's graduating high school. So she's, you know, we are truly, you know, mm-hmm. on the verge of that season of being, you know, empty nesters. So she will be going to college. So, you know, I know, and I think it's starting to happen already that mm-hmm. we're just starting to spend more time together. It's just like, you know, all of our conversations were just, you know,
around the
okay, the kids have to do this. Okay, who's going here? We need to take care of this or meeting. So I start to see that shift. Mm-hmm. You know, do you see that shift? That's what I sense.
Is she going off to college somewhere?
She's going to Spelman.
Oh, okay.
She's going to Spelman. Mm-hmm. So they'll be in town, but still away. We give them total freedom. Everyone's on campus. Mm-hmm. They're staying mm-hmm. on campus. So, you know, I see that shift starting to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little at a time, but when they're both, you know, moved out and, you know, you're like, wow, that I can do something with that room maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
But
I did.
Okay. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
But yes. So I sense those things are starting to happen just in the times that we can kind of do different things together.
Yeah. So. And it's an interesting time of transition. And so there does become a new normal. And so there is a new normal, whether you are a couple or whether you are single. And so some things that are similar in this instance, right? You have that feeling of excitement and joy. Then you have that time of relaxation and relief, like, oh my gosh, I don't have to do anything.
mm-hmm.
But then on the back end, believe it or not, there is that depression and there mm-hmm. is that
yes,
sadness
yes.
that settles in,
when
right?
When you need someone to run to the store.
Right. Can you just go grab the butter?
Right.
The
you don't tell. You don't ask. You tell.
Right. Come on. Go get it.
Go get it.
Go. Huh. I need.
You've been voluntold.
That's when the big depression kicks in. Like, where is he?
Yeah. Or just the I miss you. Right. Because now your kids have their own life, so they may not be calling. They're not coming through the door every day.
Yes.
The things that you were doing, the pleasure. Because a lot of times your life is built around your children.
Yes. It is.
So the friendship circles, you know, the people that you see, the activities that you do on the weekend, all of a sudden, all that is gone. And so if you're a married couple now, we just got to kind of deal with us. And it's you. Wait a minute. I haven't just had just you for hours on end for years. So now we have to get to know each other all over again and decide whether we like each other still or we, you know, because let's be real. This is a time where a lot of people go, listen, I just stayed together just to get my kids to a certain point.
A
now we got to figure out what we going to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the single parents who have invested all of their time in their children. And so all of a sudden, I have my life back.
You know
I might
what?
Not want my life back.
You know
back.
What my son said when he moved to Rhode Island, and he would call and I would say, Dad and I are, you know, eating, or Dad and I are out to the movies, or Dad and I are doing this. He said, dang, you and Dad are doing so much stuff now. And I said, because you're not.
Right. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Couldn't believe it.
There you go.
So,
yes.
I mean, it, because of my line of work and was always busy, my son left right before my husband was retiring. And so, you know, I before I took on the programming position, I had a lot of time during the day.
Yeah.
Son gone, husband retiring. Now we have a lot of travel time. We have a lot of time to do a lot of great stuff that we had not had a chance to do.
Mm-hmm.
So once we got over the fact that he was gone and it was our first experience and we sat in his room for several days, let me just go on and put it out
there.
Come
on, cry.
I sat in there and I was like, dang, he is not here. Mm. He is 937 miles away.
Yeah, he's not coming back for real.
That's a quick turnaround.
You know? And I would sit in there because he didn't really take anything, and I would just watch TV or just sit.
Just be in his space.
For some days. I mean, call me cuckoo, but I did it for some days, and then all of a sudden I just got over it.
Yeah.
And but it did affect me when he did leave.
Yeah, and so we have to be real about that, and people have to know that that's normal. I have so many parents who are sitting on my couch, believe it or not, terrified. They tell their children and they told themselves, I can't wait till you go. I can't wait. And now they're like, can you pass the Kleenex? Because she's really going away. And so that is normal, though. And so what we have to understand is when you've done something your entire life, when you've invested, when you've poured into, when you have dreams, when you've prayed, you've fought, you've labored for a thing, you have some ideas about what that thing is going to do. And even though you're excited for them, and even though you're happy that you've gotten to this moment and you're celebrating, there is a part of you also that is changing, that is grieving, that is sad to see this moment come. And so understand that those mixed emotions are perfectly normal for a time like this.
Yeah.
But you know what's so interesting, and I'm glad you said that, because even though I didn't stay on campus when I went to college, I became a different person. The environment made me into a different person, and it made me act differently towards my mother. So that little bit of separation from your parents or from your mother can make a difference in the world, because when I was staying with her, we got on each other's nerves. When I went off to college or went on my own, got my apartment or lived with somebody else, I was like, you know what? I think I love my mother.
You have a different respect, right? A different appreciation.
It was a different appreciation at the time.
Yeah.
I want to share a quick testimony about my household. Now, I come from a single parent household, and it was mandatory that I go to college. I never understood why I needed to go to college, but my mother, she always wanted me to go to college to make something of myself. And I went to college 4 years, different environment than when I was in high school, obviously. Now, I have mixed feelings about college looking back at it, but I had a deep conversation with my mother, and that conversation was about me attending college back in those days. And she felt that as a black man in America, I would not survive in America without a college degree. Those were her exact words. And that was the main reason why
my mother wanted me to go to college. So let's say you, was it always mandatory? And I will go ahead and address this question to you, Dr. Bennett, Dr. Harold Bennett, along with Valerie Bennett in the studio with us. Was it always mandatory for your child to leave home and go to college when your son reaches a certain age?
Well, I will tell you what I told Quentin. I was very upfront with him about this. Once you got out of high school, you had four options. A, technical school. B, college. Three, you're going to get you a job. Number four, you're going to join the U.S. Marines. End of discussion.
Semper Fi.
End of discussion. You wasn't laying around my house, eating free. No, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. You're going to do something. You're going to pay rent. Once you graduate, let me tell you again, son, you're going to join the Marines. You're going to technical school. You're going to college. Or you're going to get your job. Non-negotiable. That's it.
I remember being in the living room, we having that conversation, and the look on his face was like, okay, you know, it was pretty, it was pretty clear. And I think the job one, I think that probably went out the door. The military, you know, that didn't appeal to him at all. And, you know, again, that college thing was kind of always there because we knew at the time, you know, he was playing football, so he wanted to, you know, play in college. So I think that was, you know, the ringer right there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was going to be that particular choice. So,
Why those options? Because I hear parents talk to their kids a lot, and they would always say, "You going to college? That's it." There was no talks about you going to active duty or you going to trade school. My son is going to college. My daughter is going to college. Why give your son those options?
For me, I guess I go back to some words that my mother shared with me. My mother told me one day, because let me tell you, this is probably a great story for you. When I was growing up, one of my dreams was to be a garbage man. That's what I wanted to be. Why did I want to be a sanitation worker? Because my father was a sanitation worker. My grandfather was a sanitation worker. And for me, that was just the highlight of my life, to grow up, to get up in the morning, go into trash cans. So when I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I'm going to be a garbage man when I get big. What you think about that?" My mother said to me, "Say, baby, I don't care what you do, as long as you're not robbing folk, you're not stealing, you're not cussing folk out, you're not hurting folk. I don't care what you do, as long as it's decent and you're earning an honest living." For my son, that's why I gave him those options. Whether he goes to college or technical school, that was his choice. But I wanted him to make an honest living. And I wanted him to be responsible for himself doing something that he wanted to do. But at the end of the day, I wanted him to have some degree of self-sufficiency. And I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be clean. That's what I wanted.
And I think I was in the same place after I got over the fact that, because I had to get over it. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I had to get over it because that was something that I personally was looking forward to. Going to your homecoming. You know, I would go to my own. I would go to my sister's. I would go, you know, to other friends' homecomings. I wanted to then go to my son's, you know, because I would go to Tennessee State where my nieces graduated. I would go to Savannah State where my mom and sisters and some of my nieces graduated. I wanted to say, "Hey, I'm going to go hang out to wherever my Jamal was going to go." So after I got over that, and believe me, I'm saying it like it was easy. It wasn't.
Very hard.
Because when you get to this time of year, knowing high school graduations are about to take place, you know, what are you going to hear from people?
"Oh, where's your child going? Where are they going?
I mean, that's constant. And it hurt my feelings to say that he wasn't going off to school. It hurt my feelings. But we also had the same conversations. "Well, since you're not going to school, you're not going to lay up in here, you know, eating us out of house and home and expecting me to buy your sneakers." That's just not going to go down. After high school, the responsibility for me was over. And his father and I, because we were both adamant about you going off to school, his father and I said that. And he stayed with us for a few minutes, but he worked. And we told him, "Here's what your financial responsibilities are." So it wasn't foreign to him to know that when he did leave, I know I got these responsibilities and I'll take care of these responsibilities. But yeah, whether you go off to school or not, you still got to hold them accountable for some grown folks, you know, actions.
Yeah.
And I am thankful some of that rolled off on him as well. But it was extremely disappointing.
Let me say this, because I want to make sure our audience understands something. When I was growing up, I think there probably wasn't no one I respected more than garbage men. Mm-hmm. Because it's like they worked hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like they were up early in the morning. It's like these were the most efficient guys I ever seen. They'd get up and go to work and they'd be done by 10 o'clock, and it was just something I just loved about the way they worked and about the way they were committed to what they were doing. And to me, that's what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it was, anything that was dehuman. I don't want anybody to think that.
Right.
It was, my thing about being a guardsman, it was just probably the position that I respected most in life. And I'm like, that's what I was born to be. And I said, Mama, that's what I'm going to be. And she said, well, I don't, as long as what you want to be, son, is decent. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is.
And I think that's what we need to preach more, is to grow up to be decent human beings,
right.
And being able to take care of yourselves, in a very efficient way, because my mother was a teacher, but I told my mom, I'm not going to do it. No.
Yeah. And I think, though, too, we have to be real about conditioning, right? And conditioning from the right place, like the heart was in the right place, but societal conditioning has been, I've done a certain thing so that you don't have to, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at just across the generations, the opportunities that our great-grandparents had versus what our grandparents had versus what our parents had versus what we had, a lot of the messaging that we got was, you are going to college because I did not have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so for many of us, we are the first ones in our family, if we went, we were the first ones to have the 4-year experience, right? And so now our generations are saying, not only do we want to give our children that, but we want to make sure that we don't saddle them with debt. So more parents are paying for their children to go to college.
Right.
And there's this constant evolution. But, I posted up on my Instagram maybe a week or two ago this meme that I saw that I thought was pretty amazing, which someone said, you cannot raise your children the way your parents raised you because your parents raised you for a world that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to go counter conditioning. We have to go against what we've learned to explore the world that our children are now living in to make sure that we are preparing them in such a way, because college doesn't necessarily guarantee them those options like they guaranteed us. You got people with master's degrees that have been unemployed for years now. You have people with PhDs that are making $30,000 a year but have $150,000 in student loan debt, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out this whole conversation about college so that, like Joyce, like you were saying, and even like me, when you go, so where's your kid going? Oh, well, they decided they don't want to. Oh. And you okay with that?
Right. Do we have a community
that it's a different conversation, right?
Right. Do we have a community that supports, are you going to support the dream of your child?
Right.
And I would love to talk about
that. Or the dream that you were conditioned to buy into.
Right.
Right. And before we go into the break, I must say this, that looking back at it, my mother made a good decision for me to go to college. Because she couldn't care. She couldn't care less if I went to college or not. And she wanted me to make sure that when I get out there in the real world, I'd be around like-minded people and I'd be around people that's going to help me in my career.
There
so looking back at it, it was a good thing.